ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्णा। सो सिंस टुडे इज द दशहरा मे बी वी कैन स्पीक अबाउट दशहरा। दिस डे इज इन बंगाली it is called Bijaya Dashami. Bijaya Dashami means the 10th day. On that day, Lord Ramchandra got the victory over Ravan. That's why we have that custom of burning Ravan's effigy on this day. Because that indicates the killing of Ravan. So, why did Lord Ramchandra get into the fight with Ravan? I'm sure all of you know about that incident. Now we can consider who is Ravan. Ravan is the king of the demons. He became extremely powerful by getting the benediction from Lord Brahma. And he practically became immortal. And that's what the demons do. The demons become powerful and they want to take control. The material nature actually makes one develop that mentality. The mentality of controlling. Ishwar Bhav. Ishwar means controller. So in the material nature, everyone is trying to control. And that's why a spirit soul actually comes to the material nature. Actually the material nature, actually a living entity is controlled. Living entity is a servant. Servant doesn't control, the master controls. So living entity is being a servant is always meant to be controlled. And who is the controller? Krishna is the controller. And that is the natural situation. Krishna is the controller and everyone is controlled. Akali Ishwar Krishna Arshab Bhritta. Bhritta means servant. Only Krishna is the Lord and Master, Ishwara, and everyone else is his servant. But when a living entity wants to become a controller instead of being a servant, when a living entity wants to become a master, lord over, then the living entity comes to the material nature. Krishna, just like a father, fulfills the desire of his son. The son says, "Daddy, Daddy, I want this." And the son, and then the father, if the desire is not appropriate, then the father advises him, "Don't do that. Don't. That's not good for you." But the child starts to cry. Then what does the father do? Then the father says, "Okay, take it and see what happens." In that respect, Prabhupada gives an example from his own life. One day Prabhupada was at home reading, and he heard his son crying. And why his son was crying? Because he wanted to touch the fan. And his mother said, "Don't do that." And because the mother was not allowing that, he was crying. He was upset. Then Prabhupada got up, switched off the fan, but still the fan was moving. And Prabhupada said, "Okay, touch it." So he touched it, and what happened? He got hurt and he started to cry. And Prabhupada said, "Touch again." He said, no, I don't want to touch it. If the fan was moving, and if he touched it, if the fan was in full swing, then his finger would have been cut off. So what he did, Prabhupada, he switched off the fan. Therefore, there was no power behind that movement, but at the same time, he wanted to teach his son something. So similarly, Krishna tells us, "Why go there? Stay here." But we are crying, no, we want to be the Lord and Master. We want to be the enjoyer like you. And then finally Krishna says, "Okay." So Krishna makes that arrangement, material nature, where living entities can fulfill their desire to become the Lord and Master. But can that becoming Lord and Master be real? Can a living entity in reality become a Lord and Master? No. Therefore, Krishna had to create an illusory situation. That's why this material nature is illusory. It's not real. In real world, we cannot become Lord and Master. In spiritual world, we cannot become Lord and Master. Krishna is the Lord and Master of servants. But he creates this world, and which allows us to be illusioned to think that we can be the Lord and Master. And the more we try to become the Lord and Master, what happens? We suffer. The more we try to enjoy, we suffer. Because that's not the real situation. Because that is not going to happen. So, in this material nature, we are trying to enjoy. And some people, in order to try to enjoy and control, they want to have such power that they can practically take over the control of this material nature. In reality, Krishna has his arrangement here. Like there are different departments and different devtas, the demigods are controlling those. They are actually Krishna's agents, Krishna's employees. Like in a company, the owner employs different employees to take care of the affairs of the company. So similarly, in this material nature, Krishna had this arrangement. He has his employees to take care. But then these demons, what they do? They try to take over the power from those employees. And in order to enjoy or control and lord over this material nature. So Ravan was one such person. He became so powerful, being the benediction from Brahma, boon from Brahma. Just like Hiranyakashipu also got the boon, you remember? Hiranyakashipu wanted to become immortal. Can anybody become immortal in this material nature? No. He couldn't also become. Brahma told him, I can't give you that boon. So then Hiranyakashipu indirectly tried to become immortal, the heavenly planet, and defeated the demon, defeated the demigods. Took over their power. His point actually was that we are from the same family. Both are actually the children of Kashyapa. Kashyapa had different wives, and from different wives their different lines came. One line came from Aditi. They are the demigods. One line came from Diti. They are the daitas or demons. And in this way, this line of the Rakshasas. And he was actually great-grandchildren of Brahma, Ravan. And so he too, his thing was, we are from the same family, why they'll have the superior position and we have the inferior position? They have the heavenly planets and we have the lower planetary systems. So he went and he defeated them. After defeating one after another demigods, he came to Jamraj. Now he attacked Jamraj's, and Jamraj sent his army. His army got defeated. So finally Jamraj came with Jamadanda. Jamadanda, if he touches that, touches anybody with that, he dies. So when he was about to hit Ravan with that and kill him, then he heard the voice of Brahma, that his time hasn't come now. So don't kill him. The Lord himself will come to kill him. So then Ravana disappeared. Jamraj disappeared from there. And Ravana was very excited. Oh, Jama has been also defeated by me. So this is how Ravan became so powerful, that in a way, he even defeated Jamraj. And Ravana once, and he had this Pushpak Viman. He also developed a rivalry with his stepbrother, Kuvera. Kuvera had this chariot, flying chariot. And Kuvera's capital actually was Sri Lanka, Lanka. So Ravan, out of his envy, like as I said, he is my stepbrother, look, he has such facility and I don't. So he went and defeated him and took over his kingdom and took over his chariot. And with the chariot he started to travel everywhere. So once when he was traveling over the valley of Himalayas, he saw a very beautiful woman meditating, performing austerities. So her name was Satyavati. So Ravana, like the demons, actually the more materially attached one is, more is inclined to sex desire. The sex desire develops due to material attachment. On the other hand, the more one becomes detached from material nature, the more he loses his interest in sex life. And the thing is, in order to get out of the material nature, one has to become free from sex desire. So the demons are generally very much attracted to illicit sex. So, seeing Satyavati, such a beautiful girl alone, he approached her. And she said, look, I am just performing austerity to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead as my husband. So please spare me. But Ravan will listen. Ravan caught her by her hair and tried to drag her. So just being touched by her, by him, she felt that this body is not good anymore for to be offered to the Lord. This body has been contaminated by the touch of this demon. So, as if her hands transformed into a sword, she just passed her hand and her hair got separated, cut her hair that Ravan was holding. And there she generated a fire from her own body and gave up her body. And she, before leaving the body, she said that, I'll be the cause of your death. I will kill you. As a woman, I can't kill you directly, but I'll be the cause of your death. And that is how she was born as Sita. The cause of Ravan's death. And in the meantime, the demigods approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complaining to him about Ravan's atrocities. So the Lord said, okay, I will come. And the Lord, in his Chaturbhuha expansion, appeared as the son of King Dasarath. Vasudev became Ramchandra, Shankarshan became Lakshman, Pradyumna became Bharat, and Aniruddha became Shatrughna. Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna. These four brothers are actually the four expansions of Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And another struggle also happened there. You see, here we have to understand that Lord's pastimes are like a drama. Leela. Leela means activities for the sake of his pleasure. The Lord acts in this way to give pleasure to his devotees, like a drama. Do you like to watch dramas? Do you like to watch movies? Why? What is so exciting about the movie or a drama? The first thing about a good drama is that it will have a hero. And it will have a villain. And there will be a conflict between the hero and the villain. So drama must have conflict. Good drama must have conflict. Better the conflict, better the drama. So this conflict, that conflict takes place with the heroine. So here the Lord comes, and who is the heroine? Sita Devi. And hero, in order to generate your attachment to the hero, the good drama makes the hero go through lots of difficulties. So Ramchandra, the hero, had to go through a lot of difficulties. And this dramas are very well, good dramas are, the incidents are very nicely woven together. So here we can see development. Dasarath was the king, but he didn't have a son. He got married to Kaushalya, his principal first wife, no son. Then Sumitra, no son. Then finally he got married to Kaikeyi, the princess of the land of Kekaya, therefore she is Kaikeyi. At the time of the marriage, there was a condition that Kaikeyi's son would be the successor. Now he didn't have any son, so he agreed, okay, Kaikeyi's son would be the successor. But in the Vedic culture, anyway, then Vasishtha Muni made Dasarath perform a yajna called Putreshti yajna, a sacrifice in order to get a child. And as a result of that yajna, he got four sons. Kaushalya gave birth to Ram, Sumitra gave birth to Lakshman, and Kaikeyi gave birth to Bharat and Shatrughna. And so here Ram is the eldest, so he was naturally going to be the king, successor to the throne. And Ram's coronation is going to take place. In the meantime, Ram already got married to Sita Devi. That's another aspect of the story. Anyway, you all know that, so I'm not going to the details. Like Vishwamitra came because the demons were harassing him, spoiling his sacrifice. So Vishwamitra came to Dasarath and told about his problem. And he said, look, we want your son to come and kill that, in order to kill the demon. Demons. So Dasarath was worried. He was very attached to Ram. Now, Ramchandra is only 16 years old at that time. Never had any experience in fighting a battle before. So when Vishwamitra wanted Ram, Dasarath was very upset. I mean, very worried. He said, look, he never has any experience. I'll go and fight on your behalf with my army. So Vishwamitra got upset. He said, look, if I wanted you to come, I would have told you to come. I came and asked your son to come with me. So, hearing that, and Vishwamitra is a very exalted sage, rishi, and if the sages were upset, then they could curse. So Dasarath was afraid that in one hand he's asking his son to come with him, go with him to fight with the demons who are so terrible, And already one of Dasharatha's ancestors were killed by Ravan. So that's why he was so worried. And so Dasharatha fainted. Vishwamitra waited for him to regain his senses. And when he opened his eyes and seeing Vishwamitra, he remembered his request and he again fainted. Then Vasishtha consoled him. He said, look, since Vishwamitra, actually the point is, Vasishtha knew who Ramchandra is, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Dasharatha didn't know, because due to his fatherly affection, he forgot, if he failed to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His fatherly affection prevailed. So Vasishtha told him, didn't tell him that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he didn't want to interrupt his parental affection. So he said that, see, Vishwamitra, he's so powerful that he can kill all those demons. But because he is a Brahmana, he doesn't want to resort to violence. So there must be some reason why he is asking Ramchandra instead of you. So accept his proposal. So then, reluctantly, Dasharatha accepted the proposal. And then Ramchandra went with Vasishtha, and on the way he killed a terrible demoness, Taraka Rakshasi. And Vasishtha gave him different spiritual power in the course. And of course the Supreme Personality of God is all-powerful, but here we have to understand that these are his pastimes. So, and then he killed that demon, Subahu, and Marichi. Subahu he killed, but Marichi, he hit him with an arrow that took him 8,000 miles from there and landed him in the middle of the ocean. So then Vishwamitra took Ramchandra to Janak's court and told him that in Janak's court there is a very wonderful bow. The Kshatriyas are usually attracted to different types of weapons. So he became attracted. The bow of Lord Shiva, let's go and see it. So Janak actually had a condition that his daughter Sita, he would give her in marriage to somebody who would be able to string that bow. Why? Because Janak could understand that this is Lakshmi Devi. This Sita is Lakshmi Devi. Now who can get Lakshmi other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That's why he made that condition. That person must be more powerful than Lord Shiva. So he made that condition, that in order to win her hands, one has to string the bow of Lord Shiva. And no one succeeded. So when Ramchandra came and that bow was displayed to him, and out of curiosity Lord Ramchandra saw the bow and he lifted it with his left hand and he strung the bow, and as he pulled the string it broke. So this is how he won the hands of Sita Devi. So, Lord Ramchandra in this way got married to Sita Devi. And so, everyone was very happy. And Dasharath decided to make Ramchandra the crown prince. Crown prince means one who would succeed him after him. So everyone was happy celebrating that festival. Even Kaikeyi was watching the fun from the rooftop. Some wonderful arrangements are being made for the coronation of Ramchandra the next day. And Kaikeyi had a maidservant. Her name was Manthara. So Manthara was a hunchback woman. That means she had a crooked body. She not only had a crooked body, she also had a crooked mind. So Manthara started to chastise Kaikeyi. Sometimes in India we notice that even the servants and maidservants take up the role of a guardian. Because the servants and maidservants also become a part of the family. I remember when I was young, we used to call the servants as dadas. Balaram da, Dinabandhu da. And I have seen this person, one of the servants was with the family for so many years, he was quite old also, that he would even chastise my mother. But in front of my father, he was very And what to speak of us? He was very, very heavy sometimes. But very affectionate also. So anyway, so Manthara started to chastise. Why are you so happy? He said, don't you know that Ram is getting coronated tomorrow? And you should be happy about that? He said, Manthara, what's happening with you? Shouldn't everybody be happy that Ram is being coronated tomorrow? And then she started to vitiate her mind. You know the consequences, what will happen? Ram's mother will become the queen mother. And she'll get all the honor. And nobody will bother about you. Ram will become the crown prince. So your son, Bharat, will become his servant. He'll have to follow the orders of Ram. And this is how she started to vitiate the mind of Kaikeyi. So much so that ultimately Kaikeyi asked, so what to do? He said, yes. She said, yes. That's like a good girl. Yes, there is a way. Do you remember that your husband gave two boons to you when he was wounded in the battle with the demigods, a battle with the demons on behalf of the demigods? And she said, yes. But at that time, when he wanted to give you those two boons, you didn't want to accept it, saying that, why should I need that? You have given me everything, I have no other desire to fulfill. So now the time has come to ask for those two boons. On the first boon, you make a condition that Bharat will become the king instead of Ram. And the second boon is Ram has to go for exile in the forest for 14 years. So Kaikeyi went to the mourning chamber. There is a room that is meant for mourning. Shokagar. So Dasharatha was looking for Kaikeyi, and then finally he found her in that room. She has taken out all the ornaments and her royal dress, and she is just wearing an ordinary sari. and she is lying on the floor. Dasaratha asked, what happened? She wouldn't say anything at first. Then finally she told, do you remember that you wanted to give me two boons? And I want those two boons now. Dasaratha said, fine, anything you want is okay. As the first boon, you make Bharat the king, prince, crown prince, the successor to your throne. Dasaratha said, Kaike, are you joking? And she again just laid down on the floor. And then Dasaratha, and then Kaikeyi said, and the second boon, you have to send Ram in exile for 14 years. Because if Ram was there, there will be a lot of strife. People are so fond of Ram, and if such an act takes place, then probably they will rise up in a revolution. They will revolt. So she wanted. Dasaratha fainted hearing that. So anyway, in this way, Ramchandra had to leave. At that time, Bharat was not there. He was in his uncle's house. And Manthara actually told Kaikeyi, see, this arrangement, Bharat has been sent out so that he can't create any disturbance. Because Bharat was the next in line. Anyway, so in this way, Bharat was away and Ramchandra went in exile. But when Bharat came back, and by the time Dasaratha, due to the separation of Lord Ramchandra, he left his body. He couldn't bear that pain of separation. So anyway, the story... I can see everyone is listening with rapt attention. So that's the nice thing about stories. And what kind of stories? These are the pastimes of the Lord. See how absorbing it is. How wonderful the Lord's pastimes are. So Lakshman followed with Ram. Sita also followed. They went to the forest. And here also see that Bharat is also the hero in another way of that drama. When Bharat came back and heard what happened, he decided to bring Lord Ramchandra back. So he went to the forest to bring Lord Ram back. But Ram refused. He said, no, this is my words to my father. I promised to my father, so I have to fulfill this words, this promise. And so when Ram would not return, then Bharat finally told him that please give me your shoes. Ramchandra was actually walking barefoot. So he took a pair of wooden shoes and he please stand on it. So Ramchandra did that. And stood on it, and Bharat returned to Ayodhya with the shoes of Ramchandra, and placing those shoes on the throne, he ruled over the kingdom for 14 years. Therefore, sometimes it's said that Bharat's sacrifice was even greater than Ramchandra's. Because Ramchandra was leading the life of an ascetic in a forest, whereas Bharat was leading the life of an ascetic in a in the capital, surrounded by all this opulence. Bharat did not cut his hair; he matted his hair. He was wearing tree bark. He didn't wear clothes. And he ruled the kingdom standing by the throne of Lord Ramchandra where the shoes were. So this is how the Vedic culture teaches us how to develop these divine qualities. All these personalities are so heroic, so great. Lord Ramchandra, Bharat, Lakshman, Sita Devi. And then in that forest one day, one demoness, Surpanakha, Rakshasi, Ravan's sister, saw Lord Ram. Ram and Lakshman took a bath in the river Saraju and they were walking to the... No, not river Saraju. Saraju is on in Ayodhya, Godavari. So they came out they were going to their hut in Panchavati. And Surpanakha became so attracted by Ram's beauty that she wanted to marry him. So she assumed a form of a very beautiful woman and approached Ram. Ram said, "Look, I'm already married." And my wife is with me, so do you want to get into a struggle like that, having a co-wife? Rather, my brother is alone here, so you get married to him. So then she approached Lakshman. Then Lakshman also said, "Look, if you get married to me, then you have to become subordinate to my elder brother's wife. Do you want that position? Better you marry him. Because after all, for a man to get married to two women is not so unusual." And in this way, finally Surpanakha realized that they're joking with her. So Surpanakha considered that Sita was the cause of her distress. So assuming the terrible form of a Rakshasi, she approached Sita to swallow her, to devour her. At that time, Lakshman took out his sword and chopped her nose off. So Surpanakha, crying, went back to his brothers, two brothers, Kaur and Dushan, were her guardian there. Surpanakha actually lost her husband in a battle. So Ravan gave her the territory in that fort, that area. And his two brothers, Kaur and Dushan, was her caretakers. So she went and reported to Kaur and Dushan. And Kaur and Dushan immediately sent 14 soldiers, 14 very powerful soldiers to take care. And when these 14 soldiers came, in no time, 13 were killed by Lord Ramchandra. And he let the other one run away to give the report. So he went and reported. And then, this time, Kaur and Dushan came with 14 Akshavini soldiers to attack Ram. But Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman wiped out that 14 Akshavini soldiers. And Kaur and Dushan both also were killed. Then Ravan, Surpanakha went to Ravan and told him what happened. So she knew that Ravan's weakness was beautiful women. So she started to tell how beautiful Ram's wife is. And she told him that such beauty is not meant to wither in the forest. This beauty is meant to decorate you in your kingdom. But Ravan became attracted, but he knew that these two persons are so powerful that just alone they wiped out Kaur and Dushan's army. 7 Akshohini each, 14 Akshohini soldiers were destroyed. So he decided to take some dubious arrangement. So he went to Marichi. Now Marichi became an ascetic and he started to live in the forest like an ascetic. So when Ravan told Ravan told Marichi, just by hearing Ram's name, Marichi fainted. And he told Ravan, don't get into a struggle with him. He is not an ordinary person. And you know what happened? Subahu and I were plundering Vishwamitra's sacrifices. Then this Ram went and he, with one arrow, he killed Subahu. And with the other, he hit me that I landed up in the middle of the ocean 8,000 miles away. Ravan said, look, Marichi, I didn't come here to take your advice. Either you act according to my order or I'm going to kill you. Marichi told him that, you know, since then, whenever I see green, I think of him. You see, Ram's color was green, and the color of the forest is green. So, he says that whenever I see green of a forest or a tree, I think of him. So this is how we can see that he was always meditating on Lord Ramchandra. So jena tena prakarena mana krishna niveshayat. Somehow or other you meditate upon, fix your mind on Krishna. So this is one example. So Marichi decided at that time that if it is a choice between being killed by Ravan or being killed by Ram, better to be killed by Ram. So he agreed, and Ravan suggested that he would become a golden deer and he would entice Ram away. And then when Ram and Lakshman were away, then he would go and steal Sita. So you know that, I'm sure. So then in this way, Ravan stole Sita. And so while searching for Sita, Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman came across Hanuman and Sugriv. Sugriv also was in a similar situation. His elder brother Bali had stolen away his wife. And not only that, he was hiding away from him due to his fear in a mountain where Bali couldn't come. So they were hiding in the safety of that mountain where Bali couldn't come. So now Ram actually made a truce with him that, okay, I'll kill Bali and make you the king of the monkeys, but you have to support me in my effort to find my wife. So Sugriv agreed, and in this way the monkeys became Ram's allies. Now who are these monkeys? Who are playing the role of the monkeys? The demigods. All the demigods came to take part in Lord's pastimes. They actually became the monkeys. And so with the help of the monkeys, Lord Ramchandra built a bridge across the ocean and came to Lanka. And a fight ensued. There are some very interesting incidents. They were actually watching from top of a mountain on the northern side of capital Lanka. And at that time, Ravan was inspecting his army and the enemy army also, standing on the wall of the city. So seeing that, seeing Ravan, Sugriv just jumped from that mountain, came in front of him and slapped him. And then both of them started to fight. Then when Ravan, being in distress, started to use the mystic power, mystic influence, then Sugriv just came back. So when Sugriv came back, Ramchandra chastised him. He said, look, my whole effort is resting on you. You are the king of the monkeys and my sources of my soldiers are the monkeys. Now, if anything happens to you, then they will lose their courage, they will lose their confidence, and there is no way we can fight. As a leader, you cannot act so whimsically. Sugriv said, yes, but the thing is, the moment I saw him, I couldn't control myself. And another time, another very nice incident. As you know, Hanuman, you see, Sampati, the brother of Jatayu, he had the vision. He's a bird. So the birds have a distant vision. And Sampati informed that Sita was there in Lanka. And he also heard that his elder brother Jatayu died protecting Sita Devi. So now it's Sita is in Lanka and the other side of the ocean. How to go there and bring the message and confirm that she is there? So Hanuman jumped across the ocean and reached in Lanka and came to Sita. Sita at first thought maybe it's some trick of Ravan, assuming as if he has come as a representative of Ram. But finally Sita was convinced. And Hanuman actually told that, look, I will carry you across the ocean to Ram. Sita said, no, I can't touch any man, anyone other than my husband, any male other than my husband. And besides that, if you carry me there, then the glory of my husband will be diminished. As if he couldn't rescue you. He couldn't rescue me. He had to depend upon you to get me back. So in this way, Sita refused to go. So Hanuman, before leaving, wanted to find out Ravan's strength and cause some damage. So Ravan's favorite garden was that Ashoka garden. The garden where when you enter there, then all the lamentation disappears. Ashoka. So he started to destroy that garden, causing all the shokas to Ravan. And Ravan sent his general with the army Hanuman alone wiped out that army. Then Ravan sent his son with the army. He killed his son. And then finally Indrajit came. And Indrajit used the Brahmastra to bind Hanuman. Hanuman could have counteracted that, but because of showing, he thought this is Brahma's thing, so in order to show respect to Brahma, he allowed Brahmastra to bind him. And also he wanted to make some more damage. And that's why he allowed himself to be arrested. So then, when he was taken to Ravan, then Ravan said, kill him. Then Bibhishan said, look, a messenger should not be killed. Messenger could be beaten up and everything, but shouldn't be killed. So Ravan said, okay, the monkeys are very proud of their tail. So burn his tail. So they put Hanuman's tail in fire. And Hanuman then started to jump from one house to another and setting all the houses in fire. So in this way, he burned the entire Lankapuri. Now Lanka was actually made of gold. Those houses were made of gold. And when those houses started to burn and melt, it has been described that a river of gold started to flow through the city. Through the streets of the city, the molten gold was flowing. And in this way, Hanuman came back. And then Lord Ramchandra, with the help of the monkeys, built a bridge. How did they do that? Because they would take the boulders and stones and throw it on the water, and by the mercy of Lord Ram, they all were floating. It didn't drown, it didn't sink, those stones and boulders. In that respect, there is another very nice incident. So while collecting those stones and to make the bridge, the monkeys were carrying big boulders and even mountain tops and everything, and bringing there and putting them in the ocean. So when Hanuman came to lift Govardhan, he got the news: the bridge is complete. So Govardhan became very upset. I was just about to be engaged in the service of the Lord, and now I am being deprived. Who sent this bad news that the bridge has been completed? So then Lord Ramchandra assured that, okay, not in this life, this pastime, but in my next pastime, I'll have most of my pastimes around you. So this is how the Lord blessed Govardhan. Okay, then you know how Ravan was killed, Sita was rescued and everything. But there is, I want to finish, end the story, finish the descriptions with a very nice incident. Two incidents I'll narrate. So Ravan was killed, Bibhishan was coronated as a king of Lanka, and the demigods and others have come to take part in that grand ceremony. So at that time, Indra came to Ramchandra and said, please allow me to do something for you. So Ramchandra said, revive all the monkeys that died in this battle. Indra said, that's not in my capacity. Only if you empower me, maybe I'll be able to do that. So, in this way, being empowered by the Lord, Indra revived all the monkeys that died in that battle. So what lesson we learned? Even if we die serving the Lord, we get our life back. That's one thing. Okay, I'll tell you three stories. So, now in the Pushpak Viman, they're flying from Lanka to Ayodhya. And when they were flying over Kishkindha, the capital of the monkeys, then Sita Devi, all the monkeys were also in that Pushpak Viman. The capacity of Pushpak Viman is that as one desires, it expands. And wherever it wants to go, it goes there. And at whatever speed it wants to go, it assumes that speed. Like that's the unique aspect of Pushpak. So when they were flying over Kishkindha, Sita Devi said, let's take all the wives of the monkeys also. So Pushpak Viman landed in Kishkindha and all the wives of the monkeys also were invited to join their husbands and come to Ayodhya. So after Ramchandra assumed the throne of the king, assumed the throne of the kingdom in Ayodhya, everybody was glorifying Lord Ramchandra for his amazing deed. Nobody could have killed Ravan. Only he could have killed. So at that time, Agastya Muni said, no, actually the credit doesn't go to Ram. It goes to Lakshman. So everyone started to wonder that how he killed Ravan, so why is he saying that credit actually goes to Lakshman? So then Agastya Muni said that Ravan couldn't have been killed if Indrajit was alive. And it was practically impossible to kill Indrajit. Because he had the boon that only if a person who has been a brahmachari for 14 years and anahari for 14 years, that means who didn't eat anything for 14 years, would be able to kill him. And because Lakshman was a brahmachari for 14 years and anahari for 14 years, that's why he could kill Indrajit. So Ram said, but Sita was there, a true brahmachari won't even look at a woman. So how can you say he was a brahmachari? Because during that time Sita was with us. So Agastya Muni said, yes, Sita was there, but Lakshman never looked at anything but her feet. And Lakshman agreed. Ramchandra also remembered that when the ornaments of Sita were shown that the monkeys got, the only ornament that Lakshman could recognize were her ankle bells. That were no other ornaments he could recognize because he never looked at Sita's body or face. So everyone was very excited. But Ramchandra said, but in the forest, every day I used to give him a fruit. So how can you say that he didn't eat anything for 14 years? So then Agastya Muni said, Lakshman, why don't you tell him what happened? Lakshman said, yes, brother, when you gave me the fruit and used to say, take it, but you never told me to eat it. That's why I didn't eat that fruit. I just kept it in the forest. So Ramchandra said, Hanuman, since the fruits have been touched by Lakshman, those fruits have become immortal. So they must be there in the forest. So you go collect all the fruits. So Hanuman went and collected all the fruits. All those fruits were counted. Only 5 fruits were short. So he said, oh, for 5 days he didn't eat those fruits. For 5 days he ate the fruits. Then Lakshman said, no, for those 5 days he actually forgot to give me the fruits. The day you got the news of our father's death, the day Sita was stolen, the day I was hit by Shakti and fainted. So the other 2 days I'm forgetting. Anyway, so these 5 days, Ramchandra actually forgot to give him the fruits. And then everybody started to glorify Lakshman, that the real hero of these pastimes of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Yeah, and then, right. And then there's another. Then Ramchandra said, see, being my younger brother, you had to undergo so many difficulties for my sake. In my next pastimes, you'll become my elder brother. So that's why when Lord came as Krishna Chandra, Lakshman became Balaram. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bhukho Srila Prabhupada Ki Ram Vijayotsav Ki Dasera Mahatsav Ki Gaur Premanande.